Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Rolling great. I haven't really spoken to you this week, first time in a long time, because you are on a social media hiatus.
Do we have to talk about that?
Yeah, we have to talk about it.
Okay.
Why are you on a social media hiatus?
I don't want to sound like holier than thou, so I'm not sure how to talk about it.
No. Why is this week different? Oh, you're also on a holier than thou hiatus?
All right. So let me just preface this by saying that my personal religious opinions are that, although obviously I think that what I do, or not what I do because I'm flawed, but what I aspire to do is correct, I'm very, very strongly in belief that you should not impose your religious practices on others. I very strongly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to preface that because I don't want to sound like I'm holier than thou or I'm implying that because I'm doing stuff that other people should be doing it or whatever. But there were sort of two reasons why, and one of them is religious based, which is it is the month of Elul, which is the way that for secular New Year's you celebrate and party the way that you should. But because Jews are guilt-ridden, and we go to synagogue all day on New Year's, and we pray and we fast and we mourn and we apologize for all the bad things we've done. And so in the month leading up to that, which is the month of Elul, some anyhow, try and take stock and apologize for misgivings and things like that. And so I think that the greatest sin that I commit on a daily basis is Lashon Hara, is gossip. And that's obviously the entire purpose of social media. So part of it was I wanted to try and address that.
That's the entire purpose?
What do you mean the entire purpose?
That's not the entire purpose. I mean, I don't gossip. I just, grow my brand. Ugh, that's gross. No, I mean, I learn stuff. I don't know.
Well, that's in terms of reading, but in terms of posting, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And also, most of what you're reading is Lashon Hara, let's be honest. I mean, the news is Lashon Hara. So that was part of it. And then the other part is I do this from, like when I went on a diet, for example, what did I do? I do things 100% or zero because I think I tend to have an addictive personality and I get very, very into things. So I try to make a point of cutting things off cold turkey from time to time just to be sure that I can. So I'll make a point of, it could be anything. It could be smoking. It could be drinking. It could be playing a game. Like, I make a point of not doing it at all for 2 weeks or a month every once in a while just to prove to myself that I can do that.
Okay.
So I said, this was not imposed by anyone else. Like, I'm sure people are speculating. Like, I said to Jen Friday night, I said, I'm not going to use social media for a week. And she said, why? And then I sort of explained that reason and she thought I was being silly, but which she usually does. And so no Facebook, no Twitter. Now, I did post the league update for the 32 Fans Fantasy League because I have an obligation to the 64 members of that league to update it. And I thought that you would
have asked me. No, you could ask me.
Yeah.
I could have done that.
All right. And so I did post that, but I'm not.
Because now you have to take next week off because you broke it.
Oh. But then, where do you draw the line? Because, texting or emailing someone or talking to someone on the phone, that's not
you
social media.
Email. You will email. Just not.
Well, I need to communicate with people
Twitter,
in the world,
Facebook,
obviously.
WhatsApp.
Yeah, well, so, but WhatsApp, the group chats on WhatsApp are, exactly, so how do you draw the line? So the group chats are the primary form of social media that I use and the primary thing that I waste most of my day on and that I'm committing the Lashon Hara on. So
Much quieter this week, all the group chats with no Chester.
Yeah, with no Chester. So I decided to not do those, so I wasn't even going to read them all week. But then I decided, I'm allowed to read them because I'm going
read,
on Twitter.
Now, so you're reading what we're speculating about you? You're just not responding? Oh, what a
Well, do you know how much harder that is, by the way? Because the terrible takes in my fantasy, there's so many, and there's an Israeli election today.
You're
going to
explode. When is this over? Saturday night?
That was the intent, but maybe I'll keep it. And the other thing was I wanted to see after a week, did I really miss it or not? How much impact in my life? Because you have this FOMO and you're like, oh my God, I got to be in my groups and I got to be on Twitter and I got to be replying. And
but also part of it is it's just people say social media, but it's not you hitting up women in Instagram DMs. You are talking to your friends, which you don't do outside of social media for the most part.
Yeah, well, it's a different circle. Yeah, the friends I see
different
in person
circle, right.
And my
you
friends
have,
online are
the,
very different.
The weird
circle.
Thing about growing up, again, this is a football podcast. The weird thing about growing up is you might like the people who you grew up with or your college buddies, but you're only really friends with the people who live in your neighborhood. At least in
the people
our
you
world.
See on a day-to-day.
The people you see, the people you see.
Yeah, but the people that are
you.
Your friends. I talk to people that I grew up with or high school or college or whatever, or people like you, who I guess I met later. But the people I talk to, the people in my neighborhood I hang out with on the weekend.
Right.
And then, well, more than that, I play softball once a week. I play
poker
once a week.
But also, like, your wife is more likely to be friends with their wife. Your kids are going to be friends with their kids versus, like,
people
who live an hour away from you or further. They're not going to be like that.
And I famously try and keep independent George separate. Like, I don't like when people in my neighborhood listen to my podcast or family members. True. You know, I try and keep those worlds separate.
Yeah, yeah. Business and pleasure. All right, let's talk about football because there's so much to talk about. Both our teams had bad weeks. My team had like a soul crushing like decade ending, and not this decade that's ending. I mean the next decade. Like this week ruined the next decade.
I mean, you might have single handedly killed Monday Night Football, and I think Josh Freeman's performance on the Vikings years ago did.
Yeah, the Jets started Monday Night Football in 1970 against the Browns, and they may have ended it last night against the Browns. It's crazy because we were like, well, you know, we got two games against the Dolphins. We got the game against the Giants. Maybe we'll split with the Bills. And now it's the opposite. Now the Giants are looking at the schedule like, sweet, we have Luke Falk maybe coming down. Like, you know, the Jets could, you know, the Dolphins aren't going 0-16 because no one's getting swept by the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, the Dolphins are pretty bad.
The Dolphins have been much worse. And, like, Darnold could come back and the Jets could be a normal bad team instead
of the current iteration of the Jets is almost as bad as the Dolphins.
But I feel bad because every time the Jets are on like a Monday Night Football, since the Jets really campaigned to be the third team on Thanksgiving with the Lions and the Cowboys, it was a big deal for Woody Johnson. And he's always felt like the redheaded stepchild, no offense to redheads or stepchildren, in New York. And they played in Giant Stadium for a million years. And the commissioner clearly likes the Giants and doesn't like Woody, partially because Woody once accused them of fixing a coin toss when they were deciding who played the first game in the new stadium to the media. He said that he didn't trust Goodell to do a coin toss, which wasn't televised, which was kind of shady. So he said, let's let the Jets be the third team. And I think the league was like considering it. And then that night was the butt fumble game. And then like the Jets have never not disgraced themselves on Monday Night Football since, or Thursday Night Football.
Yeah. Unwatchably bad game.
Yeah, because the thing that you flip, week one is actually the best week in a weird way, even though it was so sloppy. Because when every team has their quarterback, it's really exciting. The thing you forget that sucks about the NFL is five or six teams lose their quarterbacks, rendering all of those games borderline unwatchable.
Well, I mean, it depends. The Colts, I think, are an exception to that.
Yeah, the Colts had a top 10 backup. The Saints remains to be seen, but their backup, you know, certainly has a better pedigree than any other teams. You know, Gardner Minshew has shockingly been fine, even though on paper someone pointed out every backup in the league had starting experience or was a high round draft pick, like say Drew Lock or Daniel Jones. He's the only guy who has no starting experience and was not even a high round pick this year. So they were in theory would have been 32nd if we had ranked the backups before this year. But now Minshew mania has taken over.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they came within a play winning that game. So. People have to stop drawing. I mean, people have been doing crazy things. Like someone dropped Antonio Brown in one person's fantasy league. One of our listeners emailed me. Someone else just emailed me and said, should I drop Kirk Cousins in fantasy to pick up Teddy Bridgewater? Like people have to relax and stop drawing ridiculous conclusions from 2 weeks.
I agree. You know? I'll tell you what happened in one of my leagues today. The commish's son and their best friend made a trade that like tore the league asunder. And the league has been going on for many, many years. He traded Duke Johnson, and he traded not Brandon Cooks. He got Duke Johnson. He gave away Stephon Diggs. Just a terrible trade. Like
not
the 14th best receiver for like the 30th best running back.
Yeah.
And he said, because it's a league where only two receivers and two running backs start. Well, Diggs couldn't start for me and Johnson would. So I guess that's not like the craziest thing, other than like every team in the league, myself included, would have given you a better running back for Diggs had you spent 10 seconds. But then I looked at his team and Diggs is his best receiver. He was starting John Brown and Godwin. Godwin's pretty good, but John Brown is not.
Yeah. So he's a liar.
No, he's not a liar. He's dumb.
He's dumb. Okay.
Like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, it's always stupid or liar. There's only two options.
And Duke, no, there's no collusion involved. He's the one who ended up trying to quit the league, not the guy who was ripping him off. And then Duke Johnson,
who is his son, you said?
Yeah, no, his son is the ripper offer here. His friend is the one who got ripped
off.
That's
parent abuse.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not his best friend's son. It's the commish's son.
I don't care about the familial.
Anyway, so he said, oh well, Duke Johnson would start for me, but he has Mixon and Chubb, and he can only start two running backs.
Oh.
It's
oh,
just yeah. it's so the worst trade of every you know, it's just insane. So but it got vetoed. But it got vetoed and you can't veto for mismanagement.
Why are you in such idiotic leagues?
Because you just said you live near people, you have to be in leagues with them, you have to be friends with them.
No, I don't. No, I have friends. I'm not in the league of my next door neighbor, actually. He invited me and I said no thanks.
Well, it's a bad social move. You should be in their league. You should talk to them about it, even though it's below your level.
I talked to them. I spent Saturday from noon until 7 p.m. with them. That was enough.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so then I became.
Right, so we complained about the Jets.
The
commission
quit. Now I'm
team.
Commish of six different leagues. Well, five and a half. Yeah. Although your Moran brother just made a big mistake. He might have to watch out. I might take over for him also. He's on strike too. I'm telling you, if he listens to this. Strike. Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to ban him as commish. If he screws me over again, I'm not letting him post his movies podcast on our feed for a month. How about that? Is that a fair punishment?
I don't care.
Okay.
I'm not getting involved in your fantasy league.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Can I complain about the Vikings now?
Yes, complain about the Vikings.
So first of all, it's funny because I came out of that game honestly, cautiously optimistic. And my dad, my dad's been a Vikings fan literally since day one. He has seen everything. He has seen the Hail Mary game. He has seen four lost Super Bowls. He's seen Gary Anderson and Blair Walsh and 12 men on the field. So I don't understand why. But he was so upset on Sunday. He said his hands were shaking for an hour after the game. He had to go get a couple drinks to relax. Like, my dad's not a drinker. Like, I don't understand what is going on with my dad. Maybe we got to bring Jerry back on. To figure out like what's going on with him. But he was like so incredibly upset by this game, and I was sort of cautiously optimistic, and I'll tell you why. Because they went into Green Bay, you know, everything that could go wrong went wrong the first quarter. They were down 21-0 almost immediately, and they dominated the game from that point forward. That's despite the fact that Kirk Cousins had an abysmally atrocious game. Stephon Diggs had one of the worst non-Laquan Treadwell games I've ever seen a wide receiver have. Yeah. The referees,
although he did have
a
touchdown taken away. Also, he scored a touchdown and he had a second one taken away.
Okay, he had a third down drop on what would have been a score. There was
he played terribly and he had no catches until
the fourth quarter. Then he had a bobble on a ball that was picked. It bounced off his body and then was picked. So that's right. Yes. Then he had the touchdown that was taken off the board. Dean Blandino said that was the most surprising ruling related to the new PI rule this year. I mean, it was just an incredible. Even Tony Dungy was complaining about it on Twitter. Tony Dungy's like the Magic Johnson on Twitter of the NFL. It was an abysmally bad call. By the way, the Vikings had five offensive pass interferences called in this game, which I assume has to be a record. They had four. There was one on the Packers. So there were five in this game. Four on the Vikings, one on the Packers. The Packers had no defensive PIs. The Adam Thielen had a offensive PI on another one, on a one in the end zone on him. So,
all right,
you know,
so you're blaming everyone except Cousins, who made the worst throw
entire
decade.
I'll get to that. But no, and then obviously they missed an extra point and they missed the field goal. And if they don't miss all those kicks, they would have won the game anyways.
All right, but every team in the league is missing kicks these last 2 weeks, if you haven't noticed. Everyone,
yeah, except the
Bears.
There
must be something with
the
ball. Yeah, there must be something with the ball because everyone is missing kicks.
Yeah. I mean, and the referees, I mean, just those pass interference calls. I mean, I actually was writing down notes from things the announcers were saying during the game. At one point, one of the announcers said, I don't know if it was Moose or the other guy, said, is it me or does it seem like every single call in this game has gone against the Vikings? And that's like the announcer saying it. And then later on, they said, there must be steam coming out of Mike Zimmer's head with the way this game has been officiated. So that was all very frustrating. But the reason I'm optimistic is this. First of all, Dalvin Cook. I have not seen that at running back since like Adrian Peterson at his peak. I mean, he is an incredible football player.
Second best running back in the league.
I mean, there's a lot of good running backs in the league, but it's not like a lot of guys just get the stats and you think, oh, and you plug anyone back there. I mean, like,
no, he's really
good. With all due respect to James Conner, I think anybody, you know, with that offensive line. But the Vikings, I mean, Cousins was under pressure all day long. There was no the offensive line had a rough game, and it was just an incredible performance by Cook. So that made me optimistic. The fact that the Packers offense did nothing for three quarters made me optimistic. And again, the fact that if you take away any one of those drops, and the Diggs drop, either one of the two Diggs drops, the Diggs offensive PI, the Thielen offensive PI, if you reverse any one of those plays, the Vikings win this game. And that's with Cousins playing abysmally, abysmally awful. And the reason I'm not jumping to conclusions about Cousins is because, as I've complained a lot, like, there's certain quarterbacks that whenever they do well, everybody just ignores it. Whenever they do bad, everybody jumps on them. You know, like your Cousins or your Tony Romo or whatever. Last year in week 2, they went into Green Bay. Cousins had the most insane game of his life. They had a miracle 16-point comeback in you know, the last couple minutes of the game. Again, they ended in a tie because of all the missed kicks. Did Cousins get credit then? Did everybody say, oh my God, Kirk Cousins is so good? No, they didn't. So if you're not going to give Cousins credit when he has an incredible game in Lambeau, you can't jump all the way down his back when he has an awful game. So he did have an awful game. But, you know, he's a 30-year-old guy. I have a longer track record of him than 1 week. So do I think that he's an incredible quarterback? No. But look at all the – look how bad Matt Ryan's been, a former MVP. What is he, 5 interceptions in 2 games?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Cam Newton, another former MVP, how bad he is.
And and you played a good defense. You know, I was super high on the Packers defense. They've looked great for 2 weeks now. Let's see.
Well, I mean, they gave up well over 400 yards to the Vikings. You know, the Vikings really did, as bad as Cousins played. Cousins had the worst game I've ever seen him play, other than maybe Week 17 last year, and they still came so close. And it was in Green Bay, so that's why I'm cautiously optimistic, honestly. And I told my dad, like, you got to stop drinking. But anyway.
Yeah.
I said, would you rather be the Saints? Would you rather be the Steelers? Would you rather be like the whole host of the Panthers? I mean, there's a lot of teams with bigger issues at quarterback right now than the Vikings.
It's an interesting question because the Saints team, in my opinion, is so much better than the Vikings team. But can the Saints tread water for 6 weeks minimum?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they can. I think their team is good enough. I think Bridgewater is the ideal backup. I think with more reps, hopefully. I mean, obviously he has no athleticism anymore. Not that he was ever super athletic, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's not what he once was, and he looked really bad. That, I mean,
but they also this they, is the easiest. They lost the
I've rank. Literally been saying this since high school. This is not a new take at all. Or whenever, I mean, there was a play in a Broncos Chargers game once with Philip Rivers in like 2007 or something. But like, it is the easiest fix in the world. You let the play finish, and then you come back and make the announcement, right?
Yeah.
If they think it's an incomplete pass, that's fine. Don't blow your whistle. Let the play finish. Let the guys run all the way down there. And I guess they're gonna argue it's an injury concern.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you're a Saints fan, I mean, that's not why you lost the game. You lost by 18 points. You got blown out and Breeze got injured. But, like, just an abominable decision by the referees.
Yeah. Let's go through the Week 3 games, and we could hit our...
The Week 3 games. Okay.
Yeah, right, and then we'll hit our what happened. Yeah, well, because it's already Tuesday afternoon.
Yes, that's true. Now, we've had some listeners saying to us we should be doing two podcasts a week, one on Monday or Tuesday to discuss the previous week's games, and one on Thursday to preview the next week's games.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If we do a Patreon, I'll do two a week.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems like a lot of work for me. Because it's not you're not picking up the slack on the tech side, right?
I know, but we're not like promising like fancy tech stuff. We're just doing two episodes.
Yeah. All right. Fine. So let's So let's start about Week 3. Tennessee and Jacksonville, per tradition, is a Thursday night game every year.
Yeah, but not. I think this is the best Tennessee-Jacksonville game we've had in a while, even though Jacksonville is missing their quarterback.
Well, I don't know what to think of Jacksonville because they went into Houston, and Houston looked incredible in Week 1. And we said, as long as Deshaun Watson's healthy, you know, obviously they're completely screwed after this year. They have no draft picks, and Bill O'Brien's going to get fired if they don't win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But all that
having
both
these
said,
teams are screwed. Both these teams are.
Yeah, but they do look good
right
now. These
are like the two biggest win-now teams. The Jaguars. Like your team, your team is maybe the third big win now team.
Yeah,
because you're gonna struggle to get under the cap. So are the Jaguars. But the Jaguars have this weird thing where like they're the only team in the league committed to well over 50% to defense. Yeah. So they have no money and no way to improve
their
offense.
Their second best defensive player is about to leave. So
yeah, but they're going. I mean, yeah, I guess ideally you trade for a first round pick and you pick either Foles replacement or wide receiver one or something.
Yeah. But I guess we'll get to Houston. But that Jacksonville-Houston game, I just didn't understand why Houston could not move the ball on offense.
Well, what do you mean? A bad offensive line against the top five defensive line. Why? What don't you understand about that?
Yeah, okay, but Houston's offensive line was worse last year, or at least as good, mm-hmm. than the year before. And Jacksonville's defense was just as good. Right?
No, I think Jacksonville's defense is better.
New Orleans has been a good front four also, and when Deshaun Watson, was fine. So I was, the fact, and Jacksonville, could have, should have won that game. Didn't love taking the ball out of Minshew's hand on the 2-point conversion, obviously.
Right.
But, this isn't easy. This line made no sense. You and I both thought Jacksonville should be favored in Jacksonville. Tennessee's favored on the road. The way that Tennessee looked in week two, that game was only close because of Vinatieri, all his missed kicks. So to me, I'm not sure why Tennessee's favored in this game, and I'm going to pick Jacksonville to win this game. I think it's a close game.
I mean, it's pretty easy to say that the worst team in the division is Jacksonville, especially because they're missing a QB. But and Houston's maybe a little bit better. But all four of these teams could be 9-7, could be 8-8, 7-9, and nobody would really be surprised. I mean,
But Tennessee Houston's favored by 1.5 in Jacksonville means that if it was in Tennessee, they'd be favored by 7.
There are three or four teams. People were like, "Hey, you really suck at guessing the lines," which is true. But maybe Vegas sucks at setting lines because I've been really good at predicting the game so far, and I think 10-4 in or pick 7 against the spread. And some of these lines are dumb because people are assuming that Jacksonville's bad when they're not. People are assuming that Detroit's bad when they're not. And people are assuming that Arizona's much worse than they are. So those lines are dumb, in my opinion, and you should bet them. It's insane that Tennessee would be favored in Jacksonville.
Hold on. But you guessed the wrong way. For the Chargers-Lions game last week, me, Bill, and Sal all guessed it was about 3. You said it was 5.5.
Well,
so you went the wrong way on that.
Yeah, but now I'm like, okay, fine, they're good. And then now I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. By the way, and winning straight up head winners and losers, you beat me again by one for the second week in a row. Although our only disagreement was Buffalo and the Giants, and that's why you won, because you picked Buffalo, I picked the Giants. So good job by you. So Tennessee at Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's going to win. I think it's going to be an ugly low-scoring game.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jacksonville's going to win.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to the Sunday games. We'll start with the Bills, who I just mentioned, who now 2-0 with a couple of wins against the Giants and the Jets, which is not that impressive. Although now they get the Bengals. So the Bengals, another weird team. Week one, they go into Seattle. They lose by one. They play very close. And then they come home in week two. And I mean, other than obviously the Patriots game, I mean, that might have been the biggest blowout of the week, what the 49ers did in Cincinnati.
So you have a 2-0 team hosting an 0-2 team. But I don't know how many people think that the 2-0 team is going to win. The Bengals are going to have a tough time moving the ball.
Your guess of the spread, you thought that Cincy's actually a slightly better team than Buffalo on a neutral field.
Can I issue a hot take after 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I thought Josh Allen was scarier than Baker Mayfield. Baker was really bad. I mean, yes.
Well,
I
said that in week one and you made fun of me. He had all those turnovers. But
No, he sucks. Like, I'd obviously much rather have Baker Mayfield than Josh Allen. But I couldn't believe how bad Baker Mayfield was last night. Like, yes, he threw the slant to Odell and he ran for touchdown. Guess who did that a million times the last 2 years? Eli.
Yeah. The Browns scoring 23 points against the Jets, the way the Jets
were
playing
last night. The Jets didn't turn the ball over until the end of the game, so it's not like they had a defensive touchdown or even like a possession starting at the 20. But if you watch the game, every single possession started at midfield. So, I mean, 23 is always a tricky number because that means there's three field goals that you get. You know, a lot of drives that easily could have been touchdowns could easily be 30,
I was very underwhelmed
31.
By the Browns offense.
Yo, I was whelmed by the Browns, too, for sure. A real team should have beat the Jets 1,000. The only player I was not underwhelmed by was Myles Garrett, who might be the best player in the entire NFL other than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's a cheater. Like, he was lining up offsides every single play, and when he wasn't offsides, ending quarterbacks' careers. But he is unblockable. He's a scary man.
Yeah. So, Cincy at Buffalo, I guess the Bills are going to be 3-0.
I would not bet any, like, if I was betting 6 or 7 games this week, this would still be one I would not even touch. But I'm going to pick the Bills to win. But
I'm going to take the points because I think it's like 5.5, and I think it's going to be closer than that.
Okay.
Like, I mean, the Bills are still 2-0, but in my power rankings there, you know, they have yet to climb.
The Bengals are a not good team, but I don't think they're, like, an abominable team at all.
Yeah, I mean, again, they lost by one in Seattle. So, you know, they had all those, you know, Andy Dalton had a couple picks against San Francisco, but I think he can do a little better than that. Miami at Dallas, this line, to me, is one of the craziest lines I've ever seen.
Well, the thing is, like, Miami's quit on their... Right, Dallas... Well, here's the thing. Dallas is not good enough to be a 20-point favorite against them.
Exactly. Dallas is a 21-point favorite. In the history of the NFL, Akiva, do you know how many times there has been a spread of 21 or more?
I'm going to say a 6.
Ah, that is exactly correct.
Oh, yeah, that was a guess, actually. I have not seen
By the way, how many of those 6 did the underdog cover?
I'm going to guess 5 out of 6.
All 6. In fact, there's been 8 games in history where it was a spread of greater than 20, and the underdogs are 8-0 in those games. Now, these are the
But they've never won. A 20-point favorite's never lost, I assume, outright.
No, the biggest upset in terms of an outright win is obviously your Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl 4, and then of course the game
that
I tweeted about.
That's 18 and a half.
Yeah, and then the game that I tweeted about yesterday, which was last week.
Oh yeah, okay. Social media break.
So last week I made a similar argument about why you should take the points in the Patriots Dolphins game, which is Bill Belichick was 0-5 with spreads of greater than 17 in his career. And then I did this whole tweet there just because it's an interesting game. In 1978, the Baltimore Colts went into New England as 17.5-point underdogs and won the game outright, which is the biggest upset in NFL history other than your Super Bowl.
What was New England doing to be 17.5-point favorites that year?
In 1978?
Or did the Colts not have a team? Like, did the Colts, like, bring
No, New England went 11-5.
Yeah, but the Colts were that bad? I guess the Colts were bad the whole 70s, basically, right?
The Colts were 5-11.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, unclear why it was 17.5. But
I mean, obviously, the Cowboys are going to win this game. Are they going to cover? Probably not. Am I going to put any money on it either way? Definitely not. The Dolphins.
By the way, so as I said, there's been 8 games in NFL history with a spread of more than 20.
Mm-hmm.
4 of those were Patriots games. 3 of them in the 2007 season.
Okay.
So
and they didn't cover any of the 3 times. Well,
no, none of those have been covered.
The big blowout was the Dolphins game.
More than 20 points.
Remember that it was 35-0 at halftime. Patriots Dolphins, but I don't think that was a 20 point spread. I think after that, people realized, oh, this team is like, that was sort of their coming out party.
No,
for
in 2007, when the Dolphins played at New England, it was a 22.5 point spread.
Oh, so okay, fine. So it was, and they covered that, right? Or did they?
Yeah,
did
the
they
Patriots won 28-7.
So you said nobody's ever covered a 20 something point spread.
No, the Patriots won. Yeah, the Patriots won 28-7.
Oh, they didn't cover. I said, did you cover? Did they cover? You said yes. Yeah, but wasn't it 28-0 at halftime in that game?
Let's
I believe it was 28-0 at halftime.
It was 28-0 at halftime,
yeah.
Correct. And so,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
game.
And the Dolphins scored in the
35.
Third quarter,
okay.
And no one else scored.
But they so they really took the pedal off the metal. Although that season they kind of as they that team got worse every half the whole season.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So 21. It just the Miami is historically bad, but the Cowboys are not that good.
Right.
But congratulations on beating the Giants and Washington, two of the worst 4 or 5 teams in the league. Also.
Yeah. When we did our cores before the season, I had the Dolphins as two to steal a phrase from Mike Lombardi, blue chip players, and that was Laremy Tunsil and Minkah Fitzpatrick. And
yes,
both of those players, one is traded, one probably will be traded maybe by the time you hear this. Oh, no, he was traded. Sorry, he was. Jalen Ramsey hasn't been traded yet. Fitzpatrick was traded to the Steelers. Sorry. By the way, insane trade. The Steelers easily could have the 8th pick in the draft, the 11th pick in the draft. They're getting a defensive back who's like a hybrid cornerback safety.
Yeah.
Minkah Fitzpatrick's not going that high.
They're not doing anything this year now. For the Steelers, it makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill Barnwell pointed out, and I thought the same thing. Why didn't you get Ryan Fitzpatrick also? At the very least, as a backup. Right? Like
the double Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he should have got the double.
I mean, you might as well. You need somebody. Yeah, that's, you know. I mean, he had what, 4 interceptions again, or 3 interceptions?
No, he might be shot. I get. There's probably a fair answer to why they didn't want. First of all, his salary, I think, is high, so who knows how it works with the cap.
Yeah.
But, man, anyway, that trade makes no sense. Like, I totally get trading a second-round pick for a guy like that. I don't get trading a first-round pick that's not, like, the 31st pick.
Yeah. No, it makes no sense. So, yeah, Miami at Dallas, that's the third game in a row where I'm picking the underdog against the
I mean, the Dolphins literally have no core. They have no, like, yes, they could rebuild in 2 years because they have two picks in every round, basically, for the next 2 years. But, man, they have to nail those picks because, there's no talent on their whole team.
And, by the way, I want to go back to the email that I sent our Dolphins fan when we started our previews in August. And I said, well, this team is just trying to mail in the season, right, because they're trying to suck for a quarterback next year. He's like, no, they're actually going to try this year. Well, they're, you know, obviously they are tanking more than we've ever seen a team tank. Other than, I guess, the Sixers in the NBA, we've never seen a team tank.
Problem is the players are going to quit on Flores. As we've discussed, the players want to get traded, but none of them are good enough to get traded.
Yeah. The only ones who have are gone.
There's going to be, like, a real revolt. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to get ugly there.
All right. Denver at Green Bay. So, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, you know, has looked good for, you know, basically part of the third quarter against the Bears and then the first quarter against the Vikings. And then other than that, he's been very, very mediocre. And, again, he has no more excuses. He can't blame McCarthy anymore. The Bears and the Vikings are two good defenses.
Well, he's played two good defenses, and it's not going to lighten up this week because Denver also has a very good defense. So I think Rodgers, I mean, this is going to, obviously we're both thinking them to win, but Rodgers is going to get hit a bunch of times this game.
By the way, Denver was incredibly screwed in that game. Obviously, the flag on Chubb was an awful call. But then they never do that where they put the second back on the clock for the field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, Allen Robinson is running. He falls down with 1 second. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that he's down.
It was a video game thing where when you press start, the second you're down, like it. But like Madden 99, like wouldn't let you call timeout for like another, you know, split second. You've never seen in before where, even though I agree it was a bad call by the ref, a tenth of a second more that clock hit zero. Like it wasn't one. I don't.
It
maybe,
was insane.
Maybe they should make, if they're going to do stuff like that, I actually think the clock should go to the tenth
decimals
of a second. Which, why not?
Yeah.
It never like, at least for the fourth quarter, it never made any sense that football clocks don't have that. Do it.
Yeah. It was impossible. Well, I think the answer is because the NFL is intentionally, like, vague and nonspecific.
Oh, of course.
Like the way that they mark, you know, the way they mark with the ball.
Of course, it's like when, it, like, you know, to a reference our listeners will get, it's when people complain, who watch reality TV complain about, like, why Survivor and Big Brother, like, leave things open-ended. It's so the producers can do whatever they want later in the year without repercussions, you know? It's the same thing. It's like the same reason the WWE can do it. So, Roger Goodell, Vince McMahon. You don't get the WWE reference?
Yeah. No. But anyways, no, but the point is that I think that the reason it's not a bigger deal is because the Bears are going places this year and the Broncos aren't, and so no one cares about Broncos complaints.
Right.
But that was a much more egregious thing than anything that happened, frankly, in like the Saints and Rams game.
I love going for two when you have a bad team down one.
Yeah.
You know, I think, right, we saw it twice this weekend. Nobody had ever gone for two down one in the fourth quarter and lost.
What
are you talking about? Until this week, nobody had ever gone for two, hit it,
They've been successful every time. There's no way that's true.
No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Nobody's ever gone for two, down one, gotten the two-point conversion, and then lost the game until this week.
Oh, then lost the game afterwards.
And then lost the game afterwards. Because usually you're going for two with, if you're going for two down one, it's with no time left or 8 seconds left.
Yeah. Well, listen, they didn't know that they were going against Mitch Trubisky and the referee.
And then it almost happened twice on Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Atlanta.
By the way, Trubisky also, same thing. Bad schedule so far. He's not nearly as bad as he's looked. He'll be fine. And they baby him more than any other quarterback in the league, maybe Darnold.
Yeah, but there's more reason to be nervous about him than like a Cousins or Matt Ryan or whatever.
Well,
because
he's
we don't have the track
younger
record
than them, of course. But
yeah, we don't have the track record.
I'm definitely
with
nervous. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm extremely nervous. But there's definitely some reason for optimism.
Yeah, the Bears should be 0-2 right now.
Yeah,
yeah. Kind of insane, by the way, that that the Detroit Lions, could almost have been in first place in this division. I guess not, because the Vikings.
Well, playoff teams in the NFC, more interesting, I think, than the AFC right now, and also with the Steelers sort of collapsing, it's much more open-ended. The Saints throwing no one in the South has looked good so far. I mean, the Saints are amazing, but they're
before week
they're
one, I had three teams in that division winning 10 games. I have no team in that division winning 10 games now.
That's Breeze's dream. And remember, there's going to be four more quarterback injuries that are going to change the course of the NFL.
No, Saints
season.
Are going to win that division at 9-7, I think.
That's fine. I mean, and by the way, they're very few, like, they just played their hardest game last week. Like, there's no game the Saints can't win with Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not saying they're going to win every game. No, I'm saying they're going to be competitive against everybody. That team is, they're not going to get blown out in Seattle, I don't think. I don't think Seattle's good enough to destroy them. The rest of their team is so, so good.
By the way, my new take is that you're going to have three 10-win teams in the NFC West.
Yeah, so people are saying that if you want
to
make a case
right now. And I don't think Seattle and San Francisco are any good, by the way, but they're banking these wins. San Francisco has two road wins already.
If you want to make a case right now that the NFC West is the best division, I'm not going to fight you.
No, I'm going to fight you.
Why? The South, is missing quarterback. The North is missing quarterback for the season. The AFC South is missing a quarterback. What's the best division? The AFC West with the Raiders and the Broncos?
I need to see another week or two.
I mean, we know what the worst division is. Let's work backwards. The Jets division is the worst division. The NFC East is not the best division, right?
Yeah, yeah. But
I mean, your division's
really
good. The North is good. Everyone still has their
AFC
QB.
The AFC South is very meh. The AFC North is very meh.
Yeah, right.
Pittsburgh stinks. Cleveland stinks.
But if there's only one playoff spot in the South, I agree that the Niners. I don't think the Niners are good, but there's no reason why they can't finish 9-7.
I think you bank two road wins. That's very valuable.
Yeah, I mean the Seahawks. I thought they sucked also, but they've been fine. I don't know. Maybe the Cowboys and Eagles both make it. Who knows?
Yeah, that's possible.
All right, what's the next game?
All right, Atlanta at Indy. You need to explain yourself because you had Atlanta as a favorite in this game.
I had Atlanta.
Indy goes into the Chargers, a Super Bowl contender in week one, and they would have won but for their kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on the road against Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think Indy sucks. I just think it's crazy for Matt Ryan to be an underdog to Jacoby Brissett.
But Matt Ryan sucks. He has five interceptions.
I definitely messed up the spread there, but I'm picking the Falcons to win this game.
Yeah, I'm picking Indy to win this game. The Falcons are one of the teams I think I was wrong on in the preseason. They're definitely worse.
You were wrong on all 32 teams. I hope people just listen to me.
All right. Okay. So that's our first disagreement. Then that's good.
Okay.
All right. Baltimore, Kansas City, amazing game. The
game of the week. I'd say every game. Stretch it to include my picks. But every week this year has had a A+ game. Houston, New Orleans, because that was my Super Bowl week one. Not looking great for the Super Bowl, but what are you gonna do? Then last week, week two, obviously Jets Browns. No, I'm just kidding. Week two, Rams Saints. That game ends up being a flop because Breeze goes out. And now Baltimore, KC. I think there's no argument that these teams aren't the second and third best team in the AFC.
Correct.
Maybe, for all we know, the second and third best team in the NFL. Probably not with Baltimore, but it's possible. With
Baltimore has to play a non-bottom three team.
Yeah, well, they are. Let's see them, I can't imagine that they can't move the ball on Kansas City. It doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but I have a feeling they're going to be able to move the ball.
Tyreek Hill goes down, everybody's like, oh, now Sammy Watkins, a one-time number four pick in the draft, he shows his truth, that he's a star.
Mm-hmm.
But then in week two, it wasn't even him. It was Robinson. It was Mecole. It was just like these Hardman.
It doesn't matter. He's so good that if you just need guys to run fast.
Yeah.
How
did nine teams miss on Pat Mahomes?
Because they interviewed him, and they're like, nobody with this voice will ever be even a starter in the NFL.
Yeah, that cartoon voice is hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean, Andrew Luck is the same thing. I would have been, if I went for an interview with Luck, I might have traded that pick.
Do you want to pick Baltimore with the road upset here?
I don't. I know I'm more of a road upset guy than you, but KC is too good. But this game is a delight. It's crazy This is why my life is so stupid. I'm going to watch only the Jets-Patriots game at 1 o'clock. I'm not going to watch the... Yeah. Now, I will have multiple screens on, but I will only... And you're going to only watch the Vikings-Raiders, which is another atrocious game. And and I will go back... I will circle back and you know, and watch the extended highlights of all these games and you know, the red zone during commercials and stuff. But I will watch every play of Jets-Patriots, and I'll have multiple screens of every... Which, that's like... Really, again, like we have, I'd rather be. I don't even want to be a, like a sports fan anymore. The Jets are so bad. The Jets and the Mets seasons essentially ended last night. The Mets lost in Coors Field to a guy with a 7 ERA, with 4 Z's in his name. Well, like, why do we do it? It's so stupid. We should start a Chavrusa instead of this every week, Chester. We should just learn the Talmud, me and you.
Yeah.
This is
a
waste of time. The Jets are so bad. The Mets are so bad.
Yeah. I mean, but listen, the Mets gave you a month of excitement, which you didn't think you were getting.
Yeah, Mike Francesa said, it's embarrassing, but in New York, the football team seasons have ended before the baseball season. It's regular season.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
I mean, they might not win a game other than the one they play against each other in November. I'm going to go in for that game, probably. The 0-8 Jets against the 0-8 Giants or whatever.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about... Okay, so the Vikings are going to get healthy against the Raiders. They're going to blow them out, and Cousins will have...
But the Raiders are not nearly... The Raiders are not on the Jets, Dolphins, Giants level. They're like at least one tier up. Tyrell Williams has looked awesome.
The Vikings
are
still going to win this game.
Yeah, they're
going to
win.
All right, Patriots,
unless
Jets.
This is your week three last year. What was that, week two or three last year? Three, right?
The Bills. That
the Bills.
Was week three.
This could be your flop-a-rooney where like Gruden is desperate.
Yeah. Actually, similar situation. Week one, the Vikings looked good against a playoff competitor
then
team.
Then they didn't win against Green Bay.
Week two, they went into Green Bay. Their kicker missed a bunch of kicks. They failed to get a win when they outplayed them. And then week three, they came home against one of the worst teams in the AFC. They were massive.
Now you're scaring me out of Survivor. It's weird. There's never been as many Survivor options as this week in the history of the NFL because there's like four 20-point spreads. And like this was the obvious game to me before the season. And now it's like, why not just do Dallas over Miami?
Cowboys.
And then
I'll tell you why you want to take the Vikings, and I'm not saying I will take the Vikings, but because the Cowboys get to play the Giants at home in Washington at home, right?
Yeah, but what about anti?
The Giants, they play
anti
the Giants
survivor. You probably have to use Oakland. They're not as bad as.
Yeah, they have, when a team has garbage teams in their division, you have a lot of options.
It's true.
So, speaking of garbage teams in the division, Patriots Jets. Now, this line is only 17.5.
No, it's gone up to 20, I think, since we spoke.
Oh, because I was going to say this line is way too low.
It's in the 20s.
And you guessed 14,
it might
the way.
Be 20.
So, what were you doing?
Harold, I think, just wrote it. So, it was like 21 ish.
How did you guess 14?
I thought I guessed 14.5, but yeah, I guess that's insane. I also thought this was, I guessed that before the Jets played. I thought the Jets would be a little more competent, and maybe the line would go down a little.
Why? You had predicted the Browns to blow the doors off.
Yeah, but I didn't think it would be that. I mean, that wasn't an NFL team.
That would be more Browns good than Jets bad.
That wasn't an NFL team that you saw. They had like negative 13 yards passing into late in the game. They couldn't complete. They went 3 and out like 80 times. They couldn't do anything.
By the way, there's like an Eli Daniel Jones argument in my fantasy football league group right now.
It's a lot of Giants fans.
Yeah, these Giants fans are still in denial.
Who cares?
It's
don't
incredible.
Care what like uneducated, like not uneducated, but like people who know less than you say about.
Yeah. Someone just said we need Chester to consult his charts. He's MIA.
Well, did they realize they could email you and you'll send back you will do the chart and send it back to
I'm actually not only even doing that. I'm reading these and I'm actually replying privately to specific comments.
You on WhatsApp?
Well, yeah, because I'm allowed to talk to a friend. I'm just
so you view that as texted? That's absurd. This is every time I try and write your name on any sort of device, it says Chester. Do you mean cheater? And now I understand why. I thought it was just the autocorrect, but now Chester becoming cheater. I get it.
Yeah. By the way, it does that to me also, and it's my own effing name.
It's your own. Yeah. By the way, why can't I just like no? Don't ask me that again. I'm never typing the word cheater, except about Sammy, your brother's fantasy football commissioning.
All right, let's talk about Detroit at Philly.
Mm-hmm. Detroit, so I said
you love Detroit.
Yeah, their team is fine. The
spread
is insane.
This is a 4.5-point spread. It's
I'm
an 8-point
picking
spread.
The Eagles to win, but the spread is crazy. The Eagles are not that much worse. Wentz looked atrocious last week.
Yeah, but also, to be fair, Wentz had nobody, right?
What are the lines
Deshaun
bad
Jackson
at besides having
the
worst
game.
Coach in the NFL?
By the way, I had multiple players on my stupid fantasy team get goose eggs because they got injured in the first quarter.
There was a lot of goose eggs. Deshaun Jackson. OJ Howard had a big goose egg. A lot of goose eggs last week.
He played the whole
game. The Eagles receivers, a lot of goose eggs. If you get a goose egg, that you should be allowed to start somebody on Monday night in their stead. Leave you an actual zero. That should be a rule. So the Jaguars, someone tweeted about how like Doug Marone, some like big college football Twitter guy. I assume you didn't see this. No, you're actually on Twitter. You're just not responding.
Yeah.
So you did see it. So somebody tweeted that Doug Marone rode Sean Payton's coattails to a college football job. He went 500 in the Big East, got an NFL job, quit that job in 2014, still got paid in 2015, and somehow got another head coaching job. He's about to run into the ground. Now, we can all agree that his player management skills are abysmal. It is bad that your best or second best player has to be, basically traded because you got into a fight with him on the sidelines. You don't see Bill Belichick doing that. That being said, he almost took Peyton Manning. He almost took Blake Bortles to the Super Bowl 20 months ago against the Patriots. He should have won that game. And he is a much better coach than half the coaches in the league. Like, he's at worst like a slightly below average coach. I think he's at least an average coach. You don't think? I mean, we're talking about this now because it's Detroit and Philly. He's not a better coach than Matt Patricia. You wouldn't rather have him than John Gruden? Yeah, but think about how many bad coaches there are. The coaches in New York, Gase and Shermer. Is Zach Taylor any special? Kyle Kingsbury sucks. Patricia sucks. Jay Gruden, John Gruden. Fangio looks like he might be lost. There's a ton of bad coaches. Doug Marone is not the prototypical bad coach. I don't know. You don't agree.
I mean, I think he's bad.
Nobody's talking about Vrabel also, but Tennessee is doing a really good job.
Well, they go 9-7 every year.
Yeah, but that's not a good team. That's a good job to go 9-7. That team could go 2-14. You wouldn't blink an eye. You know what I mean? Nobody like, oh, they have too much talent in Tennessee to go 2-14. You'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds about right. They suck. Anyway, I have Philly winning, but Detroit is a good team. They're not bad at anything. They can pass. They can run. They have a good run defense, and they have a good secondary. They have no elite player on the whole team, but they are wholly competent. They're the most competent team in the NFL.
Okay.
Carolina at Arizona, the other team that was in the tie. Same thing. Arizona is why is Carolina going to destroy Arizona in Arizona? Carolina's looked awful. Their quarterback is halfway out of the NFL, and Arizona's quarterback is getting better every week. They have legitimate receivers. He's got guys open on every single play. Their defense absolutely sucks. Fine. But Carolina's might not be able to exploit that the way some other teams can. I'm picking Arizona to win this game.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you, actually.
Kyler Murray right now is better than Cam Newton. I like Cam Newton, but there's something very wrong. Maybe he needed to take the season off. I don't know. Bill Simmons said on his podcast that Michael Vick said this is Cam Newton's last year in Carolina, which is not something we even considered in the preseason. But, I mean, at a certain point, like, he's got to get healthy or figure something out.
Yeah, but he was missing the reason that Tepper and they talked about, not playing Newton this year was not because they wanted to get rid of him. It's because they wanted him to be healthy for the long term.
I agree, but at a certain point, like, if he's not...
If they conclude that he will never be...
If he's in his 30s
sure.
and he's
it's possible.
Basically taking
it's
the running impossible. Out of his game, he's still an NFL starting level player, but he's not an elite player who's going to single-handedly take you to a Super Bowl again. You know, he has a ceiling. He's just another guy at that point. A jag, as Bill Parcells used to say. All right, Giants at Tampa. Tampa could be in first place after this game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't know. I mean, they're going to win this game, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, if Atlanta loses, they're going to win. The Giants are a step above the Jets and the Dolphins right now, just because if you hand the ball to Saquon Barkley every play, at least there's like a net positive thing happening, you know? Like, the Jets and the Dolphins don't have that. Oh, maybe the Giants were right. Maybe Gettleman had an idea when he picked Barkley. He knew they were going to suck even with a quarterback, so he may as well get a special.
Well, I mean, honestly, the day they picked Barkley, that's what I told my friends who are Giants fans. I said, listen, you're not going to win. You're going to be terrible, but at least it was like when the Vikings had Adrian Peterson. They weren't, other than his one insane year where he won the MVP and dragged him to 10-6. Like, you're never going to win because of a running back, but, it'll be fun to watch.
It's crazy that they had the best running back and the most exciting receiver ever, and they were like, nah, we're good. Let's get rid of and they were like, didn't have a problem with each other. It's not like they ran each other out of town, as far as I know. Barkley and Odell. Odell, he's not the best receiver in the NFL, but he literally makes two plays every single game that you've never seen another guy make. It's really remarkable.
Yeah.
Like, there's never been another guy like him. It's crazy.
Although your defense coordinator thinks he's not good. So,
I mean, Greg Williams, like, he's not a bad defensive coordinator. He's at worst like a slightly above average coordinator. Like, they were showing, like,
he's a much better defensive coordinator than he is a person.
I mean, he's the worst person I think I know. He is so exceptionally bad with the media, which doesn't matter in Cleveland. Like, people just laughed when he said stuff like, you know, I got 9 head coaching jobs, but I chose the as a defensive coordinator. But in New York, it's literally going to be the cover of a paper that a million people read every single day. And you're just going to suffocate. You're not going to be able to handle it. The New York media will eat you alive and ruin your will to live. And that's what's going to happen to him in 2 weeks. And Gay's going to fire him. You cannot live with Greg Williams. There is no way Greg Williams has a friend from more than 5 years ago. Do you know what I mean? He's one of these people that, like, burns every bridge he's ever encountered in his entire life. It's crazy. Anyway. Carolina, Arizona. All right. How many? What are there? 4 4 o'clock games this week? Five? Oh, there's five. That's pretty good. There was only 3 last week. Yeah. I need at least 4. You need the quad box. 3 is not nearly enough. I understand the league was trying to just show you Rams Saints, but you know, we saw the error of the ways, because if that's a bad game, then you're stuck. All right, Houston at the Chargers is probably the second best game of the week, right? That's a good game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect of these Chargers, because they could easily be 0-2 now.
Yeah, it's a weird game. I think the Chargers will be able to get in Watson's face and hit him. You could say that about all 16 games the Texans are going to play. I think I like the Chargers here. People are a little down on the Chargers. People are, like, not including them in their AFC playoff 6. I think, especially with Pittsburgh gone and the AFC North looking very possibly like a one-slot team, I think that's a big mistake. I think they're clearly one of the 6 best teams. They have underwhelmed for sure, but I think as long as Rivers stays upright, I don't like to predict an injury, but I do feel a Rivers injury coming. But as long as Rivers stays upright, they're gonna beat the Texans. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, if the Texans can only score 13 against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Although the Chargers just, you know, they're suffering more and more injuries, right? I mean, Derwin's replacement got injured now.
Yes.
So.
Seattle against – I would have picked Breeze and the Saints to win this game for sure, but Seattle against Bridgewater, I like Seattle. I need to see something from Teddy B just to make me sure that – we're definitely rooting for Teddy B. I think it would be an amazing story if he comes back and plays well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I love him, but yeah.
But you have to be a little nervous. You know, he was shaky in his couple passes last year in this one game, and now I don't know. I feel like he's going to be like Byron Leftwich in that he goes like straight to being like an offensive coordinator, and like Byron Leftwich literally became an OC in like 2 years. And I feel like everyone loves Teddy Bridgewater. I feel like he wants to go into coaching. He'll like move rapidly up the ranks, but you need to see something from Teddy B. Highest paid backup QB in the league. Pittsburgh and San Francisco. What a weird. Oh, if we had told you 0-2, 2-0. We could have got like 12-1 odds that it was Niners 2-0, even though they do have an easy schedule. I think the Niners are the anti-Lions. Their team is not that good, but they have a great coach. If you switch coaches, the Niners would be 0-2, the Lions would be 2-0. The Steelers are clearly in win-now mode still after that trade. The trade is still baffling. I don't know. Tomlin's not afraid to get fired. Like, Tomlin's not going to get fired if they go 4-12 without Roethlisberger. I thought Roethlisberger would say that he's retiring. Chester's checked out his podcast, guys. I thought Roethlisberger would say that he's retiring.
Yeah.
But
why would he
say
that?
But he can't. No, but now I realize he can't, but I think he's BSing. I think he...
You don't think... So you think he will retire at the end of the season?
I think he's... No, I don't think he will retire. I think it's on the table. I think if, like, he has a bad rehab, I don't know. He said he's got 2 more years under contract. He plans on fulfilling them. That would take him to age 40.
I think he'll be back. But, I mean, it's possible.
I mean, what else does he have to do?
He's taking... It was a non-contact injury.
It's not like Roethlisberger's like,
exactly
well, I hope...
his elbow.
It's not like Roethlisberger...
Nothing's noticeable in the video.
No, I think it was injured beforehand. I think people were saying that it was a problem before the game. I think with... it's not like Roethlisberger's like, well, I'm going to retire now and save my body. Like, Ben, don't bother. Like, you're going to... Like, when you're 52, you're going to look like you're 1,000, right? Like, nobody in the history of the league has taken more of a beating than him. I don't think. No offense, Ben. You're setting up your kids, if you have them, for a good life. But I don't. I would just take the beating. All right, Sunday Night Football. Who are we picking in this game? Niners or Pittsburgh?
San Francisco.
I don't know. I guess. I mean, we just know. I don't know enough about Mason Rudolph yet. I'll pick San Francisco also. Rams Browns is an exciting game.
Are we skipping New Orleans Seattle?
No, we picked New Orleans. Oh. You were just asleep.
Oh no, you picked New Orleans to win that game.
No, I picked Seattle.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah,
you were not paying attention. Rams at the Browns. I'm obviously gonna have
have a hard out in a couple minutes.
Okay, so let's finish. Rams are gonna win this game. The Browns really were not impressive. The Browns are way, 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 way too talented. Get Freddie Kitchens. By the way, it's another guy who freaking Marone is better than. Freddie Kitchens already sucks. I want nothing to do with him. He's awful.
Yeah.
That team, Bill Belichick would win 4 Super Bowls with this team. Like, it's ridiculous.
In 1 year.
What other team has a wide receiver, one, an elite running back, a solid quarterback, and a top pass rusher?
Yeah. By the way, I love Miles.
The Rams.
He's very good.
It's the Rams and the Browns. 3 sacks. I think he hit him 5 times. He knocked out 1 quarterback. Yeah. He's a monster. He is unblockable. Then the Monday night game is an ugly game. Bears at Washington.
And you picked Washington to be favored here. Like, Washington stinks.
I mean,
the Bears aren't
going
to
blow anybody out, I don't think. Yeah, I'm going to have the Bears win this game. But
The spread is too much. I agree with you. But,
before
you know,
the year, Washington was in the debate. I think we had them 31. They've definitely moved up into the 20s ahead of the two New York teams, the New Jersey teams. They don't even deserve. You could have them in Jersey. They don't deserve to be called New York teams in Miami.
Yeah.
But I have the Bears.
All right, Akiva, if you want me to pay more attention, can we change the subject for a second?
Yeah, what are you going to talk about?
So last night you messaged me and you said, did you see the roast, the Alec Baldwin roast yet?
Yeah, I don't know why. We both like the roast. I feel like you could have easily not known it happened. They've lost all of their sort of, not that they ever had cultural relevance, but I don't think anybody cares.
It's got cashing up the yin yang.
I don't think anybody cares about us, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I always love the roasts. And this one delivered like they all do. I thought it was great.
Yeah, this was better than the last few. They were sort of flopping so hard that I thought they were done. Baldwin is like a wacky enough character that there's enough jokes about him. It's not like one note completely. Usually the jokes are about like all 10 people on the stage. This roast had actual Robert De Niro as a roaster.
Yes.
The biggest get they've ever had. I'd rather any comedian than any celebrity, but in terms of jokes about them, you know, they're endless. And Caitlyn Jenner. So I'd say 99% of the jokes were about Baldwin, De Niro, and Jenner. Probably like a third. Maybe Jenner actually had more, which it's usually mostly about the roastee. And then there was just like a few. Nikki Glaser went first. In my opinion,
she's always great.
In my opinion, she was incredible. Because when you see a comedian go and then other people afterwards, she was so much better than everyone. They also showed a lot more of her. You could tell if someone kind of sucked if they only show like a few jokes, whereas Glaser got like her whole set in, it seemed.
By the way, I think it's a little unfair. Like, she hit it out of the park for sure.
Going first is a massive advantage.
Because
none of the jokes, some of the other jokes are really good, but they're already sort of premises that have been said 3 times.
Yeah. Like, Ken Jeong has a small penis. We heard that 100 times.
Yeah. Ken Jeong wasn't great, I didn't think.
But he's never, honestly. Did you watch his stand-up special?
No, I don't think he's good in almost. I mean, he's an okay actor. I don't think he's like ever good in this stuff.
I agreed with whoever said, like, I didn't know that they allow. what was the line about him?
I don't know, but you probably shouldn't repeat it.
I didn't realize they film. Yeah, all right.
Blake Griffin.
Well, my favorite thing, by the way, about Nikki Glaser was, you know, one thing that annoys me, like, a roast is supposed to be all the way in. You're roasting them.
Yeah.
No sentimentality. No Moose Johnson.
Yeah.
And a lot of roasters will end up and say, but in all seriousness, I just want to say you're a good friend and thanks for putting up with this or something like that.
Despite it, the famous thing is, like, despite everything I've just said.
Yeah, exactly. And so Nikki Glaser completely reversed that. She said, like, you know, in all seriousness, and then she looked like she was ending on the earnest note, and then she went the other way.
Well, they all do that. No, most of them do that. Most of them do fake earnest.
But she did it much better. No, but she did much
better.
Well,
yeah, she's a comedian. I thought Blake Griffin, who's clearly been trying to bring in the comedy for the second half of his NBA career, was fine.
Yeah, which is tough to do in Detroit.
Jeff
Ross, the closer. By the way, they make him the closer because, you know, degree of difficulty.
Yeah, actually, the MC, Sean Hayes, was real good. He got more jokes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he got more jokes in than most MCs. They aired a lot of his stuff. I guess De Niro became close with Baldwin because they do Trump and Mueller together on
I'm
SNL.
Sure they were friends decades earlier.
Must be. But it's still a weird get. I mean, it was for charity. Like, they had Lady Gaga via satellite, you know, say something, or, you know, via tape bit, say something for. I don't know if all the money was for charity. I mean, Baldwin has like 80 kids, so he's got to pay the bills.
He's like he really is, you know, and I'm sure I've mentioned this on this podcast before, like, you know, like the 2 times I've met him in real life, but he's a monster. Like, he's a.
Oh, everybody says this. Yeah. That's not like a hot take, but he's also like lived like the most interesting career of almost anybody in Hollywood. Yeah. He's like, he goes between the A-list and the Z-list like regularly.
Yeah.
You know,
but what I'm saying is I think it's interesting because, like, you know, when they had Bruce Willis, for example, they, you know, Bruce Willis, I don't know what kind of relationship he has with Demi Moore, But Demi Moore was there, and all his kids were
if
there.
If Demi Moore was there, then the answer is pretty decent.
Well, but the point is, none of Alec Baldwin's famous brothers were there.
None of his brothers were there.
Alec Baldwin's famous ex-wife is not there.
Not there.
Right? Like, these people were all, so, you know, that I think that says something.
Yeah, his current wife is there, and his daughter was a surprise guest, and she was pretty funny.
Ireland, yeah. I think that was one of De Niro's jokes, like how it's not hard for Baldwin to play Trump because that he based. But I mean, I said this year when he first came to my class in law school. I said, like, oh, the character he plays in Jack Donaghy in 30 Rock, that's exactly who he is in real life, except the politics are flipped.
Right.
But yeah, but that's exactly who he is. I also love, by the way, so like David Spade was in the crowd, which I guess you sort of expect. But LD was in the crowd. Did you notice that?
LD got one. They showed a shot. Yeah. Of LD really.
Jeff
reacting.
Ross made a Caitlyn Jenner joke.
I mean, it's probably fun to go to, except for the fact that I think they cut a lot of stuff. It's probably
like 7 hours.
It probably drags, but it is probably a fun event to go to.
Yeah, I think the Jeff Ross joke that they showed LD was, you're an inspiration to transgender Republican Olympic decathlon medal winners everywhere.
But,
and they showed LD.
Yeah, do you know that the only thing I was thinking, like, because I don't think there was anything off limits. They went after his whole family. But they didn't make a single Caitlyn Jenner driving joke that I remember.
What's the driving?
She like, killed a person while driving, like, 2 years ago. And, like, I thought that would be half the jokes. So I wonder if it was off limits.
Oh, yeah. Like how Trump, you weren't allowed to make fun of the fact that he wasn't as rich as he said.
Yes, yes. You were allowed to make fun of his kids. But that was his one thing. Yeah. So I don't know. And Caitlyn Jenner wasn't even the roastee, but I guess like she's there. She's a big name.
I mean, yeah. And she's low-hanging fruit. Yeah. Like she's there for a reason.
Chris Redd, not famous enough to be there. Sorry.
Oh, well, hold on. But that's another example. So, yeah. So none of Baldwin's kids are there. His ex-wife isn't there. His brothers aren't there. And and nobody from SNL, as Chris Redd said, like you've been coming to SNL, you know, for 30 years.
Yeah.
And the only person from SNL is me.
Yeah, like he could have. You could make a case like Lorne should have been there. Like, you know, someone like.
Yeah.
All right. Nobody came.
Well, Lorne doesn't do this stuff.
Of course not. Chris Redd. Carolyn Rhee, I have no idea why she was there. Is she friends with
him? Well, because she's friends with him, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. Or, you know, someone really.
What has she done since I Dream of Jeannie?
Almost always what happens is Sabrina Teenage Witch. Not I Dream of Jeannie. Almost always what happens with these things is a bigger name pulls out last second. That's probably where Carolyn Rhee came from. That's probably where Carolla came from. Alec Bolt, when I used to listen to Carolla's radio show before his podcast, which was much better than what his podcast started, and now his podcast is obviously unlistenable, he would mention all the time, like, Baldwin would call in, like, on the regular line. Like, Baldwin was a diehard fan of Carolla, like, dating back to Loveline. So I wouldn't be surprised if Baldwin asked for a Carolla. But Carolla was so washed. It was almost sad to see.
It was sad. I mean, like, his Crocs joke, I heard that joke from him 10 years ago.
He's been saying the same joke for 10 years. Nobody gets up there and does a stand-up set. And Jeff Ross, who's, like, an actual, like, if Carolla got married today, would be invited to his wedding, like, an actual friend of his, said, like...
Threw him under the bus.
Threw him under the bus and said, like, yeah, you sucked. Like, it wasn't even a joke. It wasn't even planned. Like, he really sucked. It was...
Yeah, I think his line was, Adam, women are funny, and maybe should have hired some to write jokes.
Yeah, he was really bad.
And also, by the way, so I was a religious Carolla, like from the very first episode of Carolla's podcast, I listened every single day religiously for years and years. And he was sort of a right wing crank, but that was not the dominant part.
Plus, politics weren't like the big, weren't a big like political podcast. I mean, podcast issue then.
Yeah, and I would
like it was easy to stay apolitical. I would say he was non political on. On his I started listening to the podcast because Bill Simmons would always talk about how great his radio show was, but you'd have to be home to watch it because it was on in LA. But pretty early on, they started cutting it into. I don't even know if like they realized they did it at first. They would cut the whole radio show into 12 segments, cut out the commercials, so it was like 2.5 hours, and put it on iTunes. So it was a podcast that they never mentioned, but it just happened to go to iTunes, and I found it. So I listened to it the next day. It was like my first podcast. This is like 2007. Every day. I would listen like both ways. I had a long commute, and that's what I would do. I would just listen to his show. And it was structured because he had like a bunch of producers. The second he got his radio, his podcast, and he would always talk about how much better it was, this 2009, it was substantial. Yeah. By week three, like the first week, it was like Simmons and Kimmel. By week three, it was like... it was like Jack from Jack in the Box, the LA chain restaurant. And it was like, oh yeah, like it's just a bunch of incompetence here. And it was, in my opinion, unlistenable by like month two, even though it obviously exploded for a couple years.
I listened for years. I really liked it. Now, also, I hadn't been familiar with him basically since Loveline.
He
dropped off, you know, for years. And so it took me a little while to catch up to hear all the stories. But
yeah, he tells the same stories every day for.
And he definitely leaned into, and I saw this happening towards the end when I quit him, which is basically he realized there was an avenue there to become the sort of the right wing comedian.
And I also think like that's probably how we feel. You know what I mean? You don't do that if you're like a Democrat.
No, he always felt that way because he would talk about it from time to time, but he decided to lean into it more and more.
Yeah, and you can hear how Simmons and Kimmel and Cousin Sal, who like actually love him, but sort of like don't really respect
Sarah Silverman also.
Yeah, like they don't actually respect him anymore.
But now he's leaned into it so far that when he came on this stage, and he wasn't on Fox News, but every single thing he said belonged on Fox News. He's like incapable of being anybody else.
He's just talking about social justice wars, which I didn't even realize like that's what he's doing all day. I mean, I assume he's having like Ben Shapiro on and people like that.
I mean, Milo Yiannopoulos, but yeah.
Did he really have Milo? I mean, I assume before, like, he was deplatformed.
He was having Milo on so much that Bryan Cranston, who was a friend of his, said, like, you have to stop bringing this guy on. And then he basically ignored Cranston. I don't know if he's still.
Yeah, no, I know I know Cranston and David Allen Greer, who are, like, the main guys who would come on. Have stopped going on. He would also, like, it was a terrible show. Like, he would have like a big guest on, and I'd be like, ooh, it's like Jesselnik or someone. And then the guest, because he's such a big talker, like the guest would literally say three words. And then the next day, like the guest would do another podcast and be like, oh yeah, I'm never doing it again. Like he literally didn't let me speak once. Why was I there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So the roast was pretty funny. Any other things worth mentioning?
No, you know, I think the roast is worth watching, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was worth watching.
Yeah, if you like.
But I thought Nikki Glaser was one, and I thought Carolla was last. That was my takeaway.
Oh, are we ranking them from best to worst?
Yeah, well, I think Glaser was. I mean, we don't have to rank all.
Glaser's 11. Obviously number one. Yeah. I'd say Jeff Ross is number two, but he's always great.
Yeah, Ross is really good. He usually has a bigger shtick. Like he came out as Joe Paterno once. Like he always has a.
Yeah.
He didn't have that much of a shtick this time.
Yeah.
What's it called? The truth is Baldwin. They went so hard on like the voicemail thing, which I had forgotten about until they mentioned it. But it seemed like there was actual like somewhat. I don't want to say disdain. I think he does have a relationship with his daughter, but like I'm sure it's like a weird. Like he gave her like he heard like hundreds of horrible jokes about himself, but the only one he gave the finger to was his daughter's joke. He gave his daughter the finger.
Well, his daughter, and I thought she was acting, and I thought she did a good job. Uh-huh. I mean, maybe she was being sincere. But she acted like she really hates his guts.
I don't think so.
But I don't think...
Because I went to her Instagram and she's really posted him a bunch of times. Yeah, she doesn't show up. Well, she's probably getting paid. But she doesn't post him on Instagram in 2019, you know, every couple months. Here's my dad if she doesn't like him.
Exactly. Yeah. But I thought that's why she did really good. Because, she... and I thought that actually De Niro did really good.
Yeah. Also. Yeah, De Niro... Someone said, hey, De Niro... Because De Niro, I think, like, doesn't even know his lines on SNL anymore. But he must have, like, practiced all week. I mean, he is, like, an immortal actor.
To be fair, the lines on SNL are written 10 minutes before
right,
it shows
exactly.
up. So.
It's actually easier. If you have 1 week, you can just practice all day. He's Robert De Niro. He could handle it. But he did not have any sheets, and he had a lot of jokes, and he was actually pretty funny. And I'm sure he fired every agent he's ever had after that. Also, he just went through a divorce, so like maybe his wife was the one telling him not to do this stuff. Yeah, but that was referenced a lot.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
All right, Keith. No. Enjoy another Jets loss this week.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Last night as I kissed you beneath the willow tree, he swore he'd take your love away from me. He said our life was just a lie until he faces the past. We'll go away.